Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you. And the Bible says, let us rejoice in the Lord. The Lord's made this day, and let us rejoice in it. You know, and if you're having problems in your life today, you can think about things to rejoice about. When the disciples went out and did the miracles, they were rejoicing about it. But he says, don't rejoice about that. But he says, rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll nowise cast out. And when we have come to Jesus, recognizing him as Lord, that's he's the boss, as our creator and savior, the one that died and paid for our sins, that when one day we'll meet him in heaven without any record that we've ever sinned because he was punished for us, we have a lot to rejoice about. We can rejoice because we don't have to murder somebody to make sure we're going to heaven like in the Muslim religion, but we can rejoice because we come to the Lord Jesus. He was punished for our sins, and we're not going to be beaten by the angels as the Muslim religion teaches, but that Jesus took all the beating for us. He was crucified for us in our place, and we can meet the Lord. Bible says he's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with the extreme joy, you know, and so we can rejoice, and we'll meet God without any record we've ever sinned. And the Bible says in another place, he will confirm you blameless unto the end. Now, we're talking about these different Bible versions, but in reality, what the heart of the core is, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word is truth. And we believe that when we read the King James Bible, and we give reasons for this also, that's what the program is about. We believe that we have God's perfect word. James says you can look at the perfect law of liberty. And preachers I hear on the radio all the time, they talk about we have to have authority and the Bible's authority and the word of God is true and the word of God's authority, but they can't name any place that is the word of God. They don't have anything that they can look at and say, this is the perfect law of liberty, the perfect word of God. Well, James in the Bible says this is the, we can look at the perfect law of God. We can handle the word of God. If it's the word of God, it's true. Jesus said it's true. And so God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. So today, I am looking at the perfect word of God when I am looking at a King James Bible 16:11. And I thank the Lord for this, and we will be given reasons why. But before this, we always have a tremendous report on science and the Bible by Pastor Davis of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And so I'm giving it to him now.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And I want to mention, too, of course, that you can go online and learn more about Bruce or listen to past programs at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And in addition to some past programs there that you can listen to, there's also some other materials there, Bruce singing and also teaching a little bit on different things, and his article on the King James Bible that got him started on this. And so you can check that out, whereisgodsword.com. And I was going to touch on something here, just a sort of a short thing here. There's a number of things in the gospel, in the book of Job. Gospel means good news, and Job does have some good news in it if you look carefully. Just as an aside, a lot of people think Job is kind of depressing when you look at some of the things that happens to him, but there's a lot of good things in Job about he knows he's going to see his Redeemer, and so he talks about the resurrection and all that. So there is good news in the book of Job, but in Job chapter 26. Job is talking here, and he makes an observation about God in verse number 7. And there's a number of things that's here, but in verse number 7, it says, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Now, that's an interesting passage when you think about it. Hangs the earth on nothing. You know, in Job's day, and Job's probably the oldest book of the Bible, and you look at it, how would he come to a statement like that? Because, you know, we're used to everything has to be suspended from something. You cannot hang something up on the wall. You can't have a pendulum like on a clock or something like that. It's got to hang from something, right? You have to fasten it up with something. You put a nail on the wall to put a picture up, for instance, or you have to have a string or a wire or something to hang something, and because otherwise it falls down. So the idea in times past was that the earth was actually resting on the back of a giant turtle. On the backs of several elephants who were standing on a giant turtle. And that's what they believe, because they believe the earth had to rest on something. They couldn't see anything that it was hanging from, and so it had to rest on something. And they couldn't figure out otherwise in their thinking how the earth could just be floating in the midst of nothingness. And yet, Job here makes this interesting statement, I believe, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the earth, that God hangs the earth upon nothing. And that's interesting, because when you look at what we now know, we have the forces of gravity interacting, and the orbits of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and planets, and things like that. And all of those forces together keep the earth solidly in the position that it's in, keeps the moon in the position that it's in, keeps the sun in the position that it's in. And that's why we don't go crashing into each other. We're literally hung upon nothing but the centrifugal forces of rotation and the gravitational forces, and all of those things keep us all in our right place. We're hung just like if you hung pictures on the wall and you arranged them just so. In the solar system, we're all hung and arranged just so on nothing, so that we don't crash into each other in God's perfect order. That's why Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God, and indeed it does.
Thank you so much, and I always enjoy the reports again. And, you know, I saw a picture of the earth from space, you know, and it's really amazing. You see this blackness, and all of a sudden this beautiful colored huge ball sitting there on nothing, you know.
Right. You don't see anything holding it in place.
It's just astounding to see the sight of it, you know, and yet here Job in the Bible knows that, because the Bible was written by God, and that's the point that mm-hmm. we're saying when we have a King James Bible. And by the way, just so you don't get it wrong, there's translations of the true text, the received text, all over the world. Like in China, it was the Morrison text, and then in India they had the text by Carey, and they have the, I think the French one is the Levitin, and then in the Spanish they have the, I forget the Spanish one now, but they have these texts, the Bible, it's the true text coming from the apostles. What I'm saying is that the Bible societies today, most of them are putting on a corrupt text, and they definitely are deceived by the devil. And the problem with that we're talking about here is that this has gone through so many denominations, from the Assemblies of God to Baptists to Lutherans. Not that all of them accepted the corrupt text, but I mean the corrupt text is taught in a lot of their schools. It's a problem. I was reading a report in a Lutheran school, and they were talking about the plastic text. Well, the modern ones are plastic texts. They're called eclectic, and that is, They're based on less than 1% of the evidence, and the evidence they do have, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus disagree with each other in 3,000 words in the Gospels. These were made more recently, but in the 19th century, by copies that the Pope had copied, and his very photographs didn't agree with one another. I mean, it's just, and so Greek departments not following the scripture have got themselves into absolute chaos. And now they're talking a language of illusion, and preachers saying, well, we go by the word of God. Which one? In talking to people, so many people that have got their mind made up, they will not even agree with you that the words are not the same. Now, there's such a thing as synonyms. That synonyms are words that mean the same thing. These modern versions, they are not words that are synonyms or mean the same thing. And I'm listening on the radio, and I've read the New Testament through over 100 times, and when I hear them reading a passage, I know what it says. It just comes to my mind, and it just upsets me. I am not saying this because we're entertained or trying to have an argument or something like that. I mean, I am very, very much disturbed about this thing, because God, it all gets down to this. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. I've been teaching in colleges Baptist history and church history and the Bible for years. And so I have spent 30 years of studying this stuff, and I've read every book pro and con on the subject. And when I read this stuff and then compare it to what the Bible says, they are in a state of absolute chaos and confusion. And they'll say the Greek text, and we've said this many times, what do you mean the Greek text? There's dozens of Greek texts out there. And when they corrected, I said, and I noticed lately, thank God, the correction has pretty much stopped on the radio and television, you know, but they correct it. You never know what Greek texts they're using. Then there's lexicons put out by, and many of these Greek texts put out by unsaved people. Lexicons are Greek-English dictionaries and Hebrew dictionaries put out by unsaved people. You know, Kittle's theological word study, which is he's messed with the Hebrew text. And he was, some of these characters really great, really amazing guys, you know. He worked for Adolf Hitler and nearly got hung for, Kittle nearly got hung for Nazi propaganda put out against the Jews, you know, and they're using his stuff to correct the King James Bible with. Now, there is a real winner, isn't it? I mean, this is what's going on. And I read one of the leading textual books on biblical authority by Geisler. And I mean, Geisler may be a nice guy. He was friends with my sister and brother-in-law. But I mean, I read his book, and like I try to read all the books on the subject. And Geisler is promoting a Roman Catholic line, and he's promoting textual criticism. You see, they have what is called lower criticism and higher criticism. Higher criticism questioned who wrote the books of the Bible. And among most evangelicals, that's been pretty well settled. In other words, they said Moses didn't write it. But among liberals, they still teach JEPD, and I'm not going into that now. We call it HPD, Higgledy-Piggledy Arrangement, you know, in which they question who wrote the books. And that's settled, too, beyond a shadow of a doubt, factually and so-called scientifically. They wrote, the ones that said they wrote it. But now what is going on today right across the board is questioning the text that has come down to us. The Hebrew Masoretic text, that should be settled because, and I don't hear quite as much questioning of that text by Hebrew writers or people who are talking about the Hebrew, because it seems like the Dead Sea Scrolls pretty well settled that because they lined up with the King James readings. But the findings that Oxyrhynchus came out some years ago should have settled that because they lined up with the King James readings too, right down the line. But the Greek departments aren't up with the times, and they don't know that, and preachers are being taught a lie. They're teaching the theories of Westcott and Hort based on Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, which disagree with each other in 3,000 places. And they are supposedly books put out by Constantine, although they question that Sinaiticus was. And they think that maybe it was written right before Tischendorf found it in a wastebasket back there in about the 19th century. But anyway, we're talking today about 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, God says, He beseeches you. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, by in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this is a direct command of Jesus Christ that ye all speak the same thing. And I'm telling you, how is it that when you listen to the radio, preacher A is preaching from one Bible, preacher B is preaching from another one, preacher C is preaching from another one? I was just reading discussions of this in a Lutheran magazine, and in that Lutheran magazine, the guy brings up the question, well, are you saying that all these Bibles that came out were corrupt? Yeah, they were corrupt, the ones that came out since 1900. And how do you know? For one thing, you apply the Bible to it. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. The ones that I heard being promoted 40 years ago are all dead. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. The King James is going right on as if they haven't been attacked by almost every seminary in the country for the last 100 years. And they were dead wrong. And I remember at the time when I was in school, they said the King James was good, but the ASV was really the accurate one. And then you read a footnote in the ASV, and it says the worship of the blind man's worship of Jesus was the worship of the creature and not the creator. They said Jesus wasn't the creator and he wasn't God. The people that put that piece of corruption out. And then the ASV followed, the RSV followed, the new ASV, same line, you know. And now they got, what's the latest piece that's come out on that line? English Standard Version, isn't it? English Standard, yeah, the same line. They just keep coming out, you know. And they all die. Don't you get it? The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. The King James goes right on. No matter if one group abandons it, another group takes it up and God blesses it, because the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth, that he will guide you into all truth. Now, in 1 Timothy 3:16, we read this, and without, let's start at verse 15. It says this, but if I tarry long, that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, God has set up the church. You think people today don't think that they have to be affiliated with the church. Well, God set up the church. That's not a man-made thing. And God wants every person to be a part of it. And Paul says that when he went to Jerusalem, it says immediately he joined himself unto it. And then another place it says that he was, became a part of it. They that gladly received the word were baptized and added unto them. That's church membership, as clear as all get out. Jesus says, if any man will not hear the church, count him as a publican and a heathen. Publican's a crook and a heathen, somebody that doesn't know God, see? Jesus, what do you think it's mentioned for 115 times in the New Testament? The local body of believers, the church. Jesus said he loved the church and gave himself for it. Now he says it's the pillar and ground of the truth. It is not the truth, like some people say the God's word is the truth, but is the pillar and ground. In other words, a building is set on ground and it better have beyond the rock, and it's a pillar is what upholds the roof and upholds the building. And so the church is what upholds the truth. The true church upholds the true word of God. And you know, there's the true church have gone on. They were called, you could call them Bible believers. They were called in the history books Anabaptists, or they're called heretics because they went by the word of God and not man-made tradition. When Damasus united, Bishop of Rome, 380, united the Church of Rome with the ancient religion of Rome and brought in all the corruption into Rome, and the Roman Catholic Church was born at that time and with all picked up the pagan corruption and was brought into it. Many, many churches never joined up. And one of their leaders, one of their Bible-believing leaders was called Novatian. And these Novationist churches later were called the Waldensians. And, I mean, they're direct descendants of them. And these were churches that were founded by the apostles. And they have come right down to us today. To the time of the Protestant Reformation, they were called Anabaptists, and today they're called Independent Baptist Churches, holding to the same teaching all through the ages. And we have the documented evidence in many books, the quotations of these people, and I'm not going to go into that today, but if you want to read, you want to get my book on cassettes on church history, you can send for them, and we will document this and show this down through the ages. And so they were the ones that copied the true text. Now it says here, God was manifest in the flesh. Now the modern versions say, he who. Where's the Greek manuscript that say, he who? There isn't none. They just made it up. Because why? When these translators make their translation, they have commentaries. And when they make a translation, they know good and well what they're doing. Now, they'll argue. They'll say, they argue over this. They say, well, in the Greek text, the word theta doesn't have the line in it, you know. And so they argue over that. But the received text, made up of different translations, it has God manifest in the flesh in the received text. And not only that, and this is just an example, Ignatius of Antioch in about 100 quotes the received text, God was manifest in the flesh. And you see, over 99% of the ancient manuscripts will back up the readings in the King James text. Now, these people say, well, it doesn't make a difference. Yes, it does. The Bible says God's words are pure. And you have hundreds of these changes that are made of key scripture verses. I heard on the radio the other day, it says in the Bible, it says, being a workman, it needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then this guy gets on here. He says, we don't know what this means. He quotes a Greek word, and then he says he doesn't know what it means, you know, and he says it should read something else. And just chaos. Leave it the way it is. How do we know it should be that way? Well, God, for one thing, said the Holy Spirit's the spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. He guided the apostles into all truth. Jesus said he would protect his words. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. And the Holy Spirit would guide you all into all truth. And the body of Christ has said, the average Christian that loves God, that reads the Bible every day, not ones that buy it, ones that read it all the time, they go back to the King James. And that's why it just continues to go on. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. It says God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus is God. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up into glory. The Jehovah's Witness do not believe Jesus is God. And you know, a new ASV, I heard this same professor say a new ASV is good in NIV. Well, they might as well get a Jehovah's Witness Bible, because the same comes from the same corrupt text with the same corrupt changes made. And you say, where do you get that? I studied it. You call this collation. I checked it out for myself, verse by verse. And there's many people that know what I'm saying. Now, you know, I'm not the only one. Don't think for a minute that I'm the only one saying this. Dr. Alfred Martin was a teacher at Moody when I was there at the time, thank God for him. And he wrote a book defending the King James. So did Billy Sunday. Had 120,000 conversions, New York City. So did D.L. Moody, who built his Moody Institute on the King James Bible. And so did Spurgeon. And so did Finney. And so did right up to Chuck Smith. Every revival comes through it. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. See, so my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. Now, another point I want to make, God warns about Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. How many times does he have to say it? The modern corrupt text, the eclectic mixed text, comes from Egypt. God warns about it. Where does the true text come from? It's called the Antiochian text. That comes from Antioch, the missionary church that sent out the Apostle Paul. That's what the textual historians call it, the Antiochian text. And it was passed on. It was passed on the old italic text translation that was promoted all over Europe. And the Syriac Peshitta and the Koine Greek and the Gothic text. Many of our words are from the Gothic text that goes way back to the earliest centuries in the King James Bible. And so God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What I'm saying today, when you read your King James Bible, you are reading what God said. And you can thank God. God said, if you come to Jesus Christ and ask him for forgiveness and salvation, you're as sure as heaven as if you've been there a million years. And he says, I'll never cast you out. That's it, black and white. That's the surest thing in this universe. Everybody else may lie about you, but you got one place that won't lie about you, and that's a King James Bible. And you can be sure that when you die absent from the body, present with the Lord. And praise God, let's go away rejoicing that until the time we see Jesus. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.